I shouldn't have put the slide up yet. I was going to do a pop quiz, which is always exciting because it's either I'm very proud of you all at the end or I feel like I've been a failure as a pastor. But the first one, it was spirit-led unity. We want to be all on the same page, Jesus page. We want the mind of Christ. So it's not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. It's about what does God really desire for our church and seeking his presence, seeking his leading in that. Anybody want to remember any others of them? Locally missional. Boom. We want to reach others for Christ locally in Culpeper and globally. So we just had a couple of people that were in Jordan, and a Sunday very soon we will have them kind of give a report to you on how their trip went. Neither of them are here this Sunday, so I wasn't able to ask them. Another one, anybody? Authenticity. We want to be real in our relationships and in our growth. We publicly and privately are putting off the old self and putting on the new. Anybody else? Any guesses? Anybody? Pressure's on. Okay, well, we did spirit-led unity. We did authenticity. Embracing family. That's part of who we are. We welcome in the outsiders as family. Biblical equipping. We want to be equipped to love and serve God and others according to the standards of Scripture. Scripture's our bottom line. We talked about locally missional. Anybody remember any others before I go to the next one? Bingo, kingdom focused. He started saying that before I hit the button. You get credit. I should have prizes. Like if this was a youth thing, I'd be throwing out candy that people got the right answers because I like to sugar them up and then send them home. Except I put out an eye on it. No. We want to be about building Christ's kingdom, not ours. That means facilitating ministry across church lines. So we do, you know, back to school batch. We're meeting in another church's building. We want to be about, it's about people in this community coming to know Jesus, and that there's only one church in Culpeper. There's multiple congregations. And if we're one church, we ought to work together to bring about the kingdom of God, or at least do our part in that. Clearly, Jesus is the one who's bringing about the kingdom of God. Last one. Anyone remember the last one? And of course, we have many other values, but these we've identified as the core of what makes us uniquely City on a Hill. Or we want to uniquely make us City on a Hill. The last one is practical stewardship. We want our time, talents, and treasure to be used by God in practical ways. We want to make a difference, and we want our lives to make a difference. So that's a kind of review of where we've been on the last however many communion Sundays it's been. But we finished them up, and I kind of use this one as a platform to leap into what's going to be the next series that's going to be on communion Sundays that I'm calling Life to the Max. Life to the Max. And I think people in our culture want that, don't they? In fact, I found this very famous commercial. I don't know if it's going to play for us. How many churches have you been to that have beer commercials?
A treasure hunt isn't a kid's game when your living and your life depend on it. Sharks don't play games. Their ancestors must have had quite a feast 250 years ago. When a hurricane sank a fleet of Spanish galleons, along with $14 million in gold doubloons and pieces of eight. If you're lucky, you find some of it. If you're even luckier, you live to tell about it. And man, that's when you know what life really is. You only go around once. You gotta grab for all the gusto you can, even in the beer you drink. Why settle for less? When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
We're laughing, but they sold beer using that commercial. People bought that. People are like, yes, I want to grab the gusto. I want to live life to the large. Therefore, I too must almost be eaten by sharks and then drink Schlitz. And we understand that's stupid. And Have beer changed, beer commercials changed at all, really? I mean, how many are still out there? They're like, you know, grab the gusto. And it's not just beer. It's laundry detergent. It's you name it. That's how they sell it. They're going, you want life. You want big life. And if you buy my product, you'll get it. And we know it's all lies. We get that. Clearly, Schlitz is not the answer to your quest for life to the max. Beer is not the answer. But even if beer were the answer, Schlitz would not. Do they still make that stuff? I'm not even going to go there. So as misdirected as this notion that buying a product will give you life to the max is, and we all recognize it's silly and we disagree, and we know God wouldn't agree with that, but God does agree with one part, and that's that he does want us to have life to the max. Jesus in John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, as does Schlitz, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God wants us to have a life beyond the life that we cobble together from what we do and what we buy. And I think there's not a person on earth that doesn't have a certain sense that, yes, there has to be more. There has to be more. And sometimes people go after more in a lot of different ways, and sometimes they just give up on it and medicate their pain. But God definitely wants us to have life to the max. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. God wants us to have abundant life, eternal life, and he describes that eternal life. You'll notice in this verse, by the way, he doesn't say, and this is eternal life, that they will sit on a cloud in heaven for a long time playing harps and eating Philadelphia cream cheese. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. It's all about relationship with God. And not last week, because Raymond gave a fantastic sermon last week, I have no doubt, I've heard good reports, but 2 weeks ago we kind of talked about costly grace and the idea of we looked at this verse, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And so this whole idea of life to the max has to do with who we are at our core in relationship to God. Now, I want you to imagine with me, if you would, a Stradivarius violin. Anyone familiar with a Stradivarius violin? These are supposed to be the best in the world, made by a guy named Stradivari, I think in the 1600s. These are old, and they're considered the best sounding. They're just considered the best, and some have sold, anyone, best guess what a Stradivarius is sold for? Anybody? $45 million. Now imagine, if you would, a man saying, I had one of those, and it was junk. It was horrible. And you say, well, what do you mean? It's supposed to be like the best. It's like, no, it didn't work at all. Well, tell me, what was the problem? He said, well, I had this thing I was building, and the nails are there, and I took the Stradivarius, and I hit the nails, and I hit the nails, and I hit the nails, and none of the nails went in. In fact, I ended up with holes in my Stradivarius. What would you say to that man? What's wrong with you? We probably wouldn't even be that kind. Because we understand that a Stradivarius is not intended to be used as a hammer. And if you're going to experience a Stradivarius violin in all of its glory, it has to be used for what it's intended to be used for. And if we really want to experience it in all its glory, we put it in the hands of a master. I mean, even if you put it in my hands and said, all right, you're not going to experience a Stradivarius in all its glory in the hands of Pastor Tom. You'll experience some very shrill and painful notes. Which is probably a good analog for our Christian lives at times, isn't it? God gives us life. And sometimes we do something with our lives that are completely not what he intended. And we wonder why it just leaves wreckage. And sometimes we try to do what God wants us to do with our lives, But we do it on our own power, and we end up with some squeaky notes. But when we put our lives in the hands of the Master, that's when we get life to the max. That's when it plays the amazing notes. And so we kind of want to look at this. Scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We were made for a purpose. We were made to play this song, and he wrote the song before we ever existed. So if we want to know how to kind of maximize life, how to live, just live large, we've got to really be thinking about, why was I made? What's my purpose? And what do I need to do to connect with that? And I think partly, and you see these on words on the front of your bulletin, and I was thinking about, how do I express what Sion Hill is about to people who are maybe looking for a church? And I didn't want to give them our core values, because your typical person who doesn't go to church is going to be like, "Oh, wow, well, they're biblically equipping. I better go there." That's not what they're thinking. They're not thinking about who we are at all. They're thinking about who they are and what they need. And so I was thinking, well, what is it that people in the world most desire, most lack, most do all kinds of crazy things to achieve? And the first, I think, is that people are lonely. People are isolated. People are hungry for relationship. People are hungry for belonging. The second is people feel stagnant. When I talk with people out in the street, oftentimes people just feel stuck. You know anyone who just feels stuck? And I'm like, there's got to be more to this. I got to move past this. And then the last thing is people hunger for meaning. Like, do I matter? And so what I decided to do is, if I knew those are the things, and I believe that as a church of Jesus Christ, we want to lead people to Christ so that they can experience in their lives belonging and growth and meaning. And so I just said, let's do three words: belong, grow, shine. Because I think people out in the world who maybe are hungering for those things will go, I wouldn't mind belonging. Growing doesn't seem like a bad thing. Shine? Could I shine? Yeah. That's what God intended us to be, a beautiful Stradivarius. And so I'd encourage you, what this life to the max thing is going to be about is going to be about pursuing a life in which we belong, in which we grow, in which we shine. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Is that not about belonging? Luke 10:27, "And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He's saying, and this is the, they asked Jesus, what's the greatest command? And this is his answer. He said, it's about love. It's about belonging. But love has a practical aspect to it. It's not simply about feelings. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." So it's saying, yes, it's about love, it's about belonging, but in the midst of that, we're to grow up. And then looking back at Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we would walk in them." So we're called to belong. We're called to grow. We're called to shine. And one of the keys, I believe, to this is this idea of stewardship. Now, I know sometimes stewardship is equated with giving. Like, seriously, you're telling us, Pastor Tom, that we want life to the max, we got to throw something in the offering plate? No, that's not what I'm getting at. Stewardship goes way beyond money. Stewardship is about being a, what is a steward? A steward is someone who, if I give you my car, in fact, while I was on vacation, Chris had my car. He dropped us off at the airport and he said, I'll clean your car. And he drove my car all around. And I like to believe that Chris had in his mind that a couple of realities. Like, this is not my car. I should take good care of it. And I should use it in ways that would please Pastor Tom. Right? Like he used it for his bread job, or he used it to go up to see the mountains. Great. That's exciting. But if I found out he was drag racing up and down where Walmart is, we were going to have problems. So that's what stewardship about. And so stewardship becomes about life, not just about money. How are you stewarding your life? If someone handed me a Stradivarius and asked me to use and care for it in the way I did with Chris in my car, I would do no harm. I would not be whacking nails with it. Your life is a gift. Are you choosing to do things with it that do no harm to yourself or others? I would actively care for it. I would polish it. I would keep it in a humidified room, all those things that you need to do for a 400-year-old wooden instrument. I would take care of it. I would learn to play it. Seriously, someone gives you a $45 million instrument, take a lesson, man. And we laugh like, duh. But how much more is your life worth than $45 million bucks? Take a lesson, man. We ought to pay attention, go, how do I develop? God's given me a life for a purpose. How do I grow? And then lastly, I would show it off. And I don't mean just put it on display. I would, after taking a lesson, I would play. I would want people to hear what it sounded like. And that's what God calls us to do with our lives. He gets glorified when you are and people see you being the person that he intended you to do, rented lips, intended you to be when he created you. And I don't mean to offend anyone, but he intends more for you than where you're at now. He intends more for me. None of us have arrived. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. First thing we need to understand about being stewards of our lives is that we are God's stewards, and God's stewards are God's stewards. That we're his. We're children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit's help, we will recognize that we are made stewards by God's activity. You didn't make yourself. You didn't say, like, hey, God, I was thinking you could use a little help managing things. No, he said, you're mine. You're my child. You're my heir. I want to draw you into this process. We respect Christian stewards for whose they are, and we remind stewards that they are God's new creation each day. When you realize that your life is a gift, recognize that every day is a gift. Nothing changes your perspective on recognizing this day is a gift. I need to do that. I'm not good at that all the time. There's a lot of mornings I wake up and I just look at what's going to have to happen in that day, and it makes me grumpy from the get-go, and I forget that it is a privilege and a gift to draw breath on that day. Chronicles 29:14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. This was David during the building of the temple, and he's going, man, you know, the people were bringing all this stuff to build the temple, and he's going, who are we that we have the privilege of giving to your work, that we get to be a part of this? You ever been a part of a project? Maybe someone else was doing a project. The Varners are restoring that Mustang. It's a cool car. I haven't worked on it. But if April ever said, you know what? Could you come over and help me do this? I guarantee you, the rest of you would hear about it. Because I'd be, you know, first time that car went down the road, and you said, oh, that's a nice car. I'd be like, yeah, I have to work on that. Yeah. See that fifth nut on the right front wheel? That's me. That needs to be our attitude about stewardship of our lives. God has made this thing, and he says, I want you to be a part of doing this. I want you to be a part of my grand project of saving the world. This means God's stewards have been entrusted with life and life's resources, and they're giving the privilege and the privilege of responsibly... There we go with the lips. They're still on vacation. Just give them a moment. Given the privilege of responsibly and joyfully managing them for him. Luke 12:48b. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but a few, but from everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, they will ask all the more. God's stewards are managers, we're not owners. That's true of our money. That's true of our lives. That's true of our cars. It's true of our violins. We're managers, not owners. Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God's stewards live with an awareness of the present and of the future, of time and of eternity. God's stewards learn to see things with a long view. We know on earth, as far as financially, the best investors are the ones who can accurately see the future. That doesn't mean they're getting tarot read. They just know enough about finances that they have a pretty good idea what's going to happen, and they invest accordingly. And if you want someone managing your money, you want that kind of person. And God wants that kind of person. If we're God stewards and recognize that it all belongs to him, we're managing it for him, whether you're talking about your possessions or you're talking about your health, which, by the way, is something we're stewards of, then we need to start asking ourselves long view questions. Will it matter in 10,000 years? What's the impact of this going to be? If I do this, will I know I'll feel good right now, but how will I feel about it in a week, a month, a year, a decade? So what are we stewards of? I've been talking about stewards of life, but let me go through. And this is why it's a series. I'm going to spend some time on each of these specifically. But I think we're called to be stewards of our minds. We're called to take care of, not harm, use our minds for God's glory. That means we want to be developing our minds. It means less TV, usually. Our body. I'm trying to lose weight. Part of the reason I'm trying to lose weight is God gave me this body, and I abuse it. I am not a good steward of my body a lot of the time, but I'm trying to be a better steward of my body because I want to bring God glory through my health. I don't want to diminish the impact I might have for the Lord because I like donuts. That's just stupid. Our spirit. Am I a good steward of my soul? Sometimes, yes, sometimes not so much. But sometimes we get so busy with life that we don't take care of our very soul. We don't take care of the spiritual aspect of our lives. Our time. Am I using my time and investing my time in kingdom stuff? Or am I investing my time in stuff that ultimately won't matter? Our abilities. God made you good at things that I will never be good at. Not that many, but no, just kidding. God made me good at things. God has given us abilities. God has given us temperaments. And God did that for a reason. God made a hammer, to bang in nails, and made a Stradivarius, to make music. And don't think that the Stradivarius making music is better than the hammer banging in nails, unless you've lived without a roof over your head. It's all important. Our possessions. Yeah, that is part of stewardship. What do we do with our stuff? What do we do with our money? Our relationships. Do we ever think about being a steward of our relationships? That every relationship God gave you, he gave you for a reason? That we're stewards of our marriages? We're stewards of our relationships with our children? We're stewards of our families? We're stewards of our neighbors? Our church. City on a Hill is a gift from God to you and me. And we're called to be stewards of it. What does that look like? What does that mean? Our nation. We are blessed to live in a nation. We have the freedom to be here worshiping this Sunday, and we don't have to have anyone out at the gate that's going to blow a whistle if the bad guys come with guns so that we can hide fast enough. We live in a great nation, but God put us here for a purpose, and we have a responsibility as citizens to be stewards of our citizenship. Our planet. I like this place. It's way better than Mars. I like having air to breathe. I like having water to drink. I like having mountains to climb. Mars has those. But since you can't breathe and you're getting dehydrated, you don't want to do that. We're called, I mean, that's one of the first commands. That is pretty much the first command in Scripture, is it not? Take care of the earth. Here's a garden. Take care of it. We're not always so good at it. How do we become stewards of our planet? And lastly, something no one ever thinks about, how do you be a steward of your stewardship? Which is what we're going to be doing. See, as a steward of your stewardship, God has given you as a gift not only your life and who you are and everything you have, but it's really his, and you're called to manage it and to bring him glory through that. But he's also given you the understanding, and we're going to be going through that each week, of what does it mean then for me to be a steward of my stewardship? I'm supposed to be a steward of my body, so how do I learn how to be a good steward? It requires intentionality. For you to be a steward of your stewardship means your understanding, God has called me to be a steward, and I'm going to step into the process intentionally and learn how to be a better steward. I'm not just going to sit in a mauve chair and expect my pastor to instill this in me. I am simply a resource to you in the process of you becoming who God intended you to be. That's all I can ever be, as a resource. If you decide, I'm going to be the best steward I can be, I can be of help to you. If you decide you're going to be passive about it, all I can do is flap my gums at you once a week. You need to make that choice to be a steward of your own stewardship. And it's so worth it. I was actually going to close the last sermon with this story, but I thought it was pretty powerful for this one as well. In 1000 AD, 186 years after the death of Emperor Charlemagne, remember Charlemagne the Great? Everyone's like, yeah, kind of, I don't know. Well, if you're alive when he was alive, you'd remember him, okay? Because he conquered your country in all likelihood. In any case, officials of the Emperor Otto reopened Charlemagne's tomb, and before them was an extraordinary sight. In the midst of all the finery buried with him, the gold and the jewels and the priceless treasures, there was the skeleton of Charlemagne himself, fully dressed, seated on his throne, still wearing a crown. And in his lap there lay a Bible, and his bony finger rested on Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Charlemagne's last speech, you can't take it with you. Recognizing that, man, life to the max is all that matters. All this stuff that's buried with me is just stuff. I wonder what answer Charlemagne gave to that question. And the other question would be, what answer will you give? Take a moment now. You can bow your head if you want, close your eyes if that helps you focus. But it doesn't matter what I said this morning. What matters is what the Holy Spirit of God is saying to you this morning. And I hope there's one sentence, one scripture, one, at least one idea that has stuck with you. And I would just, what is God saying to me? Answer that question. And the second question is like, will you be a good steward of your stewardship? What will you do about it? And I thought, while these guys get ready to play, that while you consider this, I couldn't think of a better soundtrack. I don't know if we have the sound for the track. Let's reflect on the Lord. Thank you. I would urge you, put your lives in the hands of a master. Would you stand and sing?